Welcome to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga, a teaching ministry where believers are trained to be established in the truth of God's Word. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.thepastormax.ng.
Let's pray, and as we get into the Word. Father, thank you because I'm anointed to teach. Thank you because your people are anointed to receive. And together faith is built up in the knowledge of the person of Jesus. I pray that light and understanding, signs, wonders, and miracles will take place at the teaching of your word. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at the subject of faith for increase. And we're going to take our text from Luke chapter 5. The stories in the scriptures were designed to teach us lessons. And if we take these lessons to heart, we act on them, we do them, we believe them, something's going to happen. We're going to have results, Bible results. Praise God. So in Luke chapter 5 and verse 4, we find an interesting story there. Praise God. Luke chapter 5. If we start reading from verse 1, now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him, he's talking about Jesus, and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. So Jesus, obviously, was teaching these people God's word, and the crowd was much, and he needed to gain some space to still be able to teach. When he had finished speaking, this is important, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said, Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down your nets. When they had done this, they enclosed the great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So he signaled to their partners in all the boat for them to come and help them. Now, an interesting story here about Jesus, Peter, the boats, and increase. The first thing I want you to note in the story, which is very important, was after Peter gave his boat to Jesus and Jesus used this boat to teach, Jesus didn't just say, well, thank you very much, Peter. You did a very noble task. God is going to bless you. Have a great day. Thank you for partnering with me in the ministry. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus was concerned about Peter not going back home empty that night. And that's something I want you to understand about the nature of God. F.F. Bosworth said, faith begins where the will of God is known. We cannot talk about faith for increase when people do not even believe that God cares about their basic needs. We don't serve a God who cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. We serve a God who is conscious of us, who cares for us. And let me tell you something, friends. This doesn't have to be, oh yes, I know. No, you don't know. If you're still doubting the faithfulness of God, the love of God, the fact that God wants you to increase on the earth, then you haven't really spent time meditating on that truth until it becomes a reality in your spirit. That God is not just concerned about your spiritual life. God is not just concerned about you having eternal life. That God wants you to increase in every area of your life. God is concerned about your job. He's concerned about the things you do. He's concerned about the works of your hands. And so you're not detaching your increase, you know, from your vital work with God. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. But I want you to see that God was interested in Peter's business, the fishing business that Peter was involved in. And he says, you know what? Come, get some fish. Let down your net for a catch. Jesus didn't just use Peter's boat and say, don't worry, things are going to be good. try again tomorrow. No, he was concerned about that. He was concerned about Peter's daily work. You see, God is concerned about the things that concern you. And you know, many times we always feel like, you know what, there's this spiritual, you know, love God has for us. He died for us. He wants us to be saved. And that's the ultimate will of God. But we somehow detach our daily life from God. But we don't serve a God who do not care. Now, come with me to Mark chapter 11. Of course, you cannot talk about faith without Mark 11, 23, right? Mark, come with me to Mark chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 23 here. Jesus says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, and mountain there would represent whatever obstacle, right? Because in Mark 11, 23, Jesus was speaking to the fig tree, right? And the fig tree wasn't productive. There was no fruit in it. So he answered it and spoke words to the fig tree that the fig tree is not going to produce anymore. All right. So he says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it'll be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and you will be granted you. So we see two things here. Faith will work for whosoever. Faith would work for whosoever. Number two, faith ought to be specific and targeted at something. You've got to use your faith at something. You've got to target your faith at something. You know, people just randomly go, well, I believe things are going to get better. What are you using your faith for? How specific is that? And many people are afraid to get their faith specific because they don't trust God enough that God will grant them what they're believing for. I'll tell you something. You can have faith in an area of your life and not have faith in another area. Your faith can be developed in an area, praise God, in a particular area of your life, either for divine healing, provision, or whatever, and in certain areas, your faith is not developed. If you realize an area where your faith is not developed, then you know what to do. What should you do? You feed your faith in that area until your faith builds up. Amen. You feed your faith in that area until your faith builds up. So it's very important for us to know that faith ought to be specific. And if faith is specific, it means that we can look at areas of our life, especially areas where we're not experiencing increase, and begin to use our faith for those areas. Now understand that God wanted Peter to experience increase. He wasn't pleased with working hard and nothing to show for it. Praise God. Praise God. God wasn't pleased. Jesus used the boat for the kingdom and, hey, he said, let down your net for a catch. God is not pleased with you just serving him and there's no sign of increase around your life. He wants to get involved. He wants to multiply you. He wants to increase you. But your faith ought to be developed in that area. It's not just going to happen because God wants it. It's a collaboration between you and God that will bring the increase. Amen. I hope you're getting blessed. Praise God. Now, faith can be specific and targeted at something. Faith will work for whosoever. It means you qualify. Praise God. You know, whosoever means you qualify. That's anybody, regardless of where you are from. Wherever you are, if you're a child of God, born again, spirit-filled, blood bought and washed, you qualify to use your faith for increase. Praise God. Now come with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32. This is important here. Let's go to verse 25 first of all. It says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life. And how many people fall into this trap of getting worried about their life? Many people, you talk to them, they're always worried. Some people are even worried that there's nothing to worry about. You see, if you're somebody who is worried about your life, you are disobeying the Lord's command. You're not in faith. If you are worried, you're not in faith. Faith doesn't worry. If you're worried, you're not in faith. And you can't have both at the same time. Praise God. So he says, I say to you, do not be worried about your life. as to what to eat, what you'll drink, nor for your body as to what you put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Then he talked about the birds of the air and says, they don't worry. Now, come with me to verse 31. Do not worry then, saying, look at that, look at that. Do not worry then, saying. How do we know you're getting worried? Your confession will reveal what's in your heart. It says, do not worry then, saying, what are you saying? What will we eat? Do you see that? What will we eat? What am I going to eat? How am I going to take care of the bills? How am I going to take care of my family? How am I going to do that? That's a sign of worry. Because if you know what God's word promises you, and you're walking in line with the plans of God for your life, you will not look at your future and say, what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen. You know the bills will be paid. You know the income will come. You know the supplies will come. You know the business is going to grow. You know what's in your hands. God wants to multiply. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, when God gave the command, he told man, be blessed. Be multiplied, be fruitful, and replenish the earth. The first words man ever heard from the mouth of God were the blessing words. Praise God forevermore. Were the blessing words. It wasn't a word of decrease. It wasn't a word of scarcity. It wasn't words of defeat. They were words of dominion. The first words man ever heard from the mouth of God was multiplication, increase. Glory to God. Now look at this. It says, don't worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for our clothing? It says, for the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles now? Those were not in covenant. Those were not in Christ. Those were not born again. Those who have not received the life of God. It says, they eagerly seek all these things. This is where I want you to pay attention. It says, for your heavenly Father knows, he is aware that you need all these things. Hey, come on. What are these things? These are not spiritual things. He says, what are the things? They're listed. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. He says, your Father knows you need them. Isn't that what we just read? Jesus used the boat of Peter. And then he told Peter, let down your net for a catch, which means Jesus knew Peter needed some fish. Can I tell you something? The needs in your life right now, God knows. God knows what you need. God knows your rent needs to be paid. God knows your children need to go to school. God knows you need to have food in your house. God knows the ministry has bills that need to be paid. Don't pretend like God doesn't know. Don't come to God praying, in quotes, and you're complaining as if God doesn't know. Don't go to the place of prayer with the problem. Somebody say, well, I've been praying and God haven't answered. God has answered. His word is his answer. Speak the word. Talk the word. Believe the word. Act the word. If God's word says it, I believe it. That settles it. Nothing changes it. Doesn't change in my confession. Doesn't change in my approach. Praise God. But see, I want you to see this. Your heavenly Father knows that you need it. One of the greatest secrets of faith I've ever learned is to pray to God about anything that I want, whatever, you know, is a need in my life, and collaborate with the Holy Spirit, believing God in getting that need met. It's as simple as that. Praise God. Having my faith on the line for every area of my life. And that's how you start practicing faith. Okay, so he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So he tells you what to do first. Now, I want you to follow this carefully, right? Two people here being referred to, those who are Christians, who have a heavenly Father, and the Gentiles. They're seeking something. The Gentiles are seeking what to wear, what to drink, what to eat. It's all about their needs. Everything is about their needs. You know, but he says, no, for you it's different. You put the kingdom first, and then these things will be added. And that's what we saw in the life of Peter. He put the kingdom first. Jesus asked him for something. And hey, Jesus didn't leave him without adding what Peter actually went to the river for. Peter didn't go to the river because he loved Jesus so much and he wanted to give him a boat to preach. That's not why Peter went to the river, to the Lake Gennesaret. Peter went there because he wanted fish for his family and his business. That's why Peter went there. But in the midst of that, God asked him, Jesus asked him for the boat to do something in the kingdom. He just gave it to Jesus. And Jesus added to Peter. Peter did not leave that Lake Gennesaret with decrease. He didn't leave there less than what he had before he came. He didn't leave there with a destroyed boat. Right? That's like, oh man, the crusade was so high, you know, Jesus was preaching so hot and they just broke, you know, one of the handles of the boat, and Jesus took the boat and gave to Peter and said, oh, I'm sorry. You know, it was the anointing of God. We just broke one part of the boat, but you know, God is a good God. Thank you for sacrificing. No, that's not what happened. Jesus ensured that Peter got increase. Jesus ensured that Peter got increase. Never tolerate decrease in your life. It's not God's will. Don't make an excuse for it. Don't say it's the nation I'm in. Don't say it's the government. Don't say it's the kind of business I'm doing. Whatever business you're doing, there's someone in your nation experiencing increase in that business legally. Stop making excuses. Get into faith. Get into the Word of God. Praise God forevermore. Are you still here? I trust that you're blessed. Praise God. All right, let's look at this from the Amplified Version. It says, for the pagan, the Gentiles, eagerly seek all these things. It says, but do not worry. I like that. For your heavenly Father knows that you need them. It's a great thing to have the assurance that my heavenly Father knows what I need. And he knows what I need. How is he going to get these things to me? Faith takes what grace has made available. God has already supplied our needs. There's no need you have right now that Jesus is going to die on the cross for to make happen. No, he paid the price for every need, spirit, soul, and body to be met. Spirit, soul, and body. Every need you ever have been factored in the finished work of Christ. Praise God. Are you still here? Okay, I like the New Living Translation, Matthew 6:32, the NLT. It says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Go back and meditate on that. These things dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers. What's dominating your thoughts? Your needs? That's wrong. You can't get your needs met by having your thoughts dominate your mind. The thoughts of the needs dominate your mind. What should dominate your mind? Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the book of the law. Replace worry with the word. Replace worry with the word. Can I show you something? Come with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. This is our VTS, our virtual teaching seminar, where we're teaching God's word and helping believers get into the victory that God has for them. Praise the name of the Lord. 1 minute of the word can change your life forever. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And let us know, you know, the things that God is speaking to you as we're teaching. You know, just let us know how you're blessed by the meetings. Very important. We want to hear from you. That's why this is life. 1 Peter chapter 5. Remember what I said. I said, if you allow the worry and the cares and the things you need in life to dominate your thoughts, you're not in faith. So you have to replace worry with the word. And you have to learn it. You just have to learn it. Oh, there's a need in front of you. What does the word say about that need? And every time the worry about how are we going to get this thing met come, you speak the word. Because whosoever can have whatsoever. So it says, Matthew 6:32, NLT, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Shouldn't dominate your thought. God's word should. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Now come with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Alright? Casting all your anxiety or your care on him, because he cares for you. That's the reason. You were not designed to carry care. You were not designed to carry anxiety and worry. And scientists have even proven that it affects our immune system. How many of you know many times you're worried and you can't eat, you're just angry? It's not good for your health. Your body was not designed for worry. Your mind was not designed for worry. It was designed for meditation on the Word of God. Look at this. It says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. It's humility to cast your care on God. It's pride to have your care on you. The word cast means to throw on. And this is not being careless. It's acting on the word. It says casting all your cares. And why I really want to emphasize this very quickly is the fact that we cast some and we take some. He didn't say you should take some. Give it all to God. Now, come with me very quickly. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Amplified Version says, casting all your cares. Look at this. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. And I like how the Amplified puts it. Once and for all on Him. Once and for all. Because once faith casts the care on God, it leaves it on God. Faith doesn't cast the care on God and takes it back and cast it and takes it back. Faith doesn't play ping pong with cares. Cast it once and for all. All your cares, all your worry, all your anxiety. Praise God. It says, for He cares about you. I like the fact that the Amplified says He cares about you. Not just cares for you, He cares about you. It says, with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Amazing. Now, do you realize something? That one of the things that affect the Word of God, that chokes the Word of God, in Mark chapter 4 verse 19, is cares, is worries. The New Living Translation says in Mark 4 19, praise God, it says, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. Now, for the Word of God to work in your life, it's not so much as per just receiving the word, but it's also important that the heart and the ground that the word is coming into is worry-free. You see, when people who are in faith receives the word, it works quickly. It's just like, bam, before, like Amos will say, before the sower, you know, plants the seed, I mean, harvest is coming. Why? Their heart is ready. Less worry in your life will make the word of God work quickly. Less anxiety in your life will make the word of God work quickly. And you've got to train your mind this way. Now, tomorrow, by God's grace, we're going to show the way to increase. But this is important because whatever word we're going to receive, if we do not clear our heart of worry and anxiety, believing that God cares about our material needs, that God is concerned about our material needs, we will not be in a position to receive from Him. Okay, so some people feel, you know, I've served God the Lord, nothing is going right in my life. See, God knows what you need. You have to collaborate with Him. They're laws, they're principles that govern the release of supply in the natural. And we're going to look at that, especially tomorrow, how Peter got into that place where he was able to experience increase. But I wanted to just show you today that God cares about your need. He doesn't want you to sow your boat and go empty-handed. That's not how God deals with things. You remember when he was feeding the, you know, 5,000, and the disciples came and says, hey, we've got a lot of people, let's send them away to buy food. Jesus says, no, give them food here. He cared about them. He cared about them having something to eat. He released the miraculous power of God to meet their needs. Jesus didn't say, oh, well, yeah, I think we can send them. We've already fed them the word spiritually. That's okay. I mean, they are well fed now. They are spiritually robust. They can walk a few days. No, he said, give them something to eat. He was concerned about what they ate. Multiplied food for them to eat, praise God. And they had enough. He didn't just give them something barely to bite on. And he says, well, just take a little bit of fish so it can go around. No, God doesn't think that way. God is an abundant God. God is a God who's got more than enough. And He is a good God. Amen. Lastly, praise God, come with me to Nehemiah, praise God, chapter 9. And this was a report about the children of Israel. So, Nehemiah chapter 9, praise God. We're going to read from verse 19 right here and stop in verse 21 for today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Trust you that you're blessed. Amen. And I pray that the spirit of increase and the grace of increase will come upon you strongly just listening to this in Jesus' name. All right. Nehemiah chapter 9, praise God, verse 19. Okay. Let's read from verse 18 very quickly. He was talking about how God is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and the fact that He didn't forsake the children of Israel. He says, for you, talking about God, in your great compassion, did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not leave them by day to guide them on their way, nor the pillar of fire by night to light for them the way in which they were to go. So he gave them light both night and day. He gave them different light that would effectively serve them night and day. He didn't say, hey, you guys just manage, you know, the pillar of cloud by day, you know, and it's when it's night, just manage tomorrow morning, the pillar will come. God doesn't think that way. He gave them what will serve them for each season. Then verse 20, he says, you gave your good spirit to instruct them. I'm going to talk about this tomorrow. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. There was spiritual instruction. Then he says, your manner you did not withhold from their mouth. Then he says, and you gave them water for their thirst. Indeed, for 40 years, you provided for them in the wilderness. Can you just say God will provide for me in the wilderness? Put that out there. Write it out there. Make it bold. Be bold to declare God will provide for me this year. Glory to God. He says, you provided for them in the wilderness and they were not in want. I like that. You provided for them in the wilderness and they were not in want. God wants you to come to a place in your life where there's zero want, where there is no want in your life. You got to believe that. Look at this. It says, their clothes did not wear out, and nor did their feet swell. See, God was so concerned about them, he looked after their feet. He ensured supernaturally that their feet did not swell. I mean, these guys didn't trek in the wilderness. They say, hey, come on, our feet are hurting us. And God said, just manage. It's just 40 days. You'll soon be there. It's okay. It's okay. At least you have silver. At least you have gold. Your feet can swell a bit. It's just normal. Don't take scarcity as normal. Get into the Word of God. Find out God's plan for your life. Find out God's will for your life. Find out how God is going to bring the supplies. Work with the Spirit of God. And I'll talk about that tomorrow. Work with the Spirit of God and see how God will make all grace abound to supply every need you have. Alright? So he gave them water. He gave them manna. He provided for them in the wilderness. And they were not in want. And their clothes did not wear out. Their feet did not swell. Look at how detailed God was in their life. And in my walk with God, and I want to encourage you, it's something I'm developing and building with God right now to ensure that I walk with God in every area and I have all my needs met and every need supplied. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you especially for tuning in to the VTS today. Our time is up and there's still a whole lot we need to go through on this. So we're going to continue tomorrow at the same time. I want to encourage you to help me invite your friends and people that will be blessed by the teachings. And I'm sure that God will, you know, reach out to us tomorrow. And I want to really thank everyone who took out time to tune into today's broadcast. And I'm sure that you'll be supernaturally blessed. Can we just pray together, Father? We thank you for your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for the VDS and the impact it's making all over the world. And thank you for the message of faith and victory that you're bringing to your people, knowing how to work the Word of God. I pray that every need is supplied. I thank you, Father God, for supernatural increase upon the life of everyone. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga. We encourage you to share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.pastormax.ng. We would like to hear from you. Send us an email, info@pastormax.ng, or you can call 0805-888-7575. God bless you.